All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we get started. I want to pray before I read the scripture this morning. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. And, Lord, you know that I'm aware of my lack of ability, Lord, and I'm aware of the short notice of the message. But, God, you're a good God. And, God, this thought didn't just come to my mind this morning, something I've been working on. Lord, I wanted to do something else this morning, and, Lord, you directed me this way, and I just pray, God, that you'd be lifted up and honored. Lord, that you'd speak to the heart of God's people. Lord, I pray for one in our midst. Lord, it's possible, this many people. God, there's somebody here, Lord, they've never truly accepted you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray if there's one here like that, God, that your Holy Ghost conviction would fall upon them. And God, that they'd be bold enough, Lord, to step out and accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for that one that, God, maybe they're not serving you like they once was. God, could you open up their eyes today? And God, just cause them to fall back in love with you just a little bit more. And God, draw closer to your Lord, that we might be that servant you'd have us to be. God, be my pastor, Lord. Touch him and heal him. God, help us, Lord, today in a way that only you can. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Genesis chapter 6. And this is something I kind of stumbled on really months ago, something I started studying up on. It really, I don't know, I get hung up on things sometimes. And start reading in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 6. Very familiar story, but you'll see where we're headed with this thing. Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be as 120 years. And there were giants in the land in those days, and also that after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And so you see here, we see after this where he has his sons. He has his three sons in chapter 10, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the Bible says that the earth was corrupt, and God had already purposed. God already knew that he was going to have to destroy man. And if you look down in here, it's amazing when you study this, when you see the details of the ark that God gives. I'm not going to read all the details, but this wasn't some little boat. This wasn't a little rowboat. This was a ship that he was building. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that don't believe that, don't believe that in the flood, and don't believe in the ark. And I've never been. Some of my family's been. I look forward to the day that I get to go up to, I believe it's Tennessee, where they have that creation museum. And I want to see that life-size model of the ark. I just want to see that. There's folks that say that, well, there just ain't no way God put that many animals in that one ship right there. Well, that's just unbelief is what that is. I mean, listen, if the Bible says God walked on water, I believe God walked on water, all right? And I just believe every word of it. And I have no problem believing that God provided everything they needed in the ark, food, and that all the species that God wanted were in there, and I just take God at his word at that. I'm fine with that. And people choose not to believe, that's their choice, but I believe it all. But we see here that the Bible said after God gave him these, detailed instructions, what kind of wood to make it out of, what the length and the height and where the window would be, and it was all God's plan. And Man's not even smart enough to think up something like that. Man, them people thought he was crazy. They'd never seen rain before. See, God promised He's going to destroy the world with rain. He was going to destroy mankind, all those that rejected God. But He made a way of escape for those that would accept Him. And we see here that after he received all the instructions that God gave him, all the details, that Noah did that according to the command, that all that God had commanded him to do, he did it all. And then we look down, back up to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 1 says, and this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of man made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 120 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, as I studied this chapter here months ago, I just got myself kind of bogged down in this. I'm not going to read this text here too. It's kind of hard to read through. This one begot that one, and he lived this long, and he lived that long, and he had these sons. But I do want to look at that because the Bible says that Adam lived to be 930 years old. Pretty old. And when he was 105, when he was 130, he had Seth. And so we know that Seth was 105 when he had Enos. And Enos lived to be 905 years, and when he was 90, he begot Canaan. And then Canaan lived to be 910 years, and when he was 70 years old, he had Mahalaleel. He lived 895 years, and when he was 65, he had Jared. And Jared was 162 years old when he had Enoch. Now, when I look at all this, we're getting down to something here that's real important here. We know that Enoch was a righteous man. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. A very righteous man in the Bible. God raptured him out alive. But before he left this earth, when he was 65 years old, he gave him a son. And he named that son Methuselah. And we know that he was... that name meant, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it contains the word death in it. It was God's way of telling man that man's time was running out. The Bible says that Methuselah lived 969 years, oldest recorded man that ever lived. We know that Methuselah was 187 years old when he had his son Lamech. And I'm amazed at this. So when I get down to Methuselah, I understand this. If I'm doing the math right, Adam is still living. We're what? Nine generations from Adam, or from creation. And Adam is still living, because by my numbers, I'm showing 874 years. And Adam lived 930. Can you imagine? I mean, look where the world's come from. They came in a perfect environment. They had all the blessings of God. Walked with God in the cool of the day. Had everything handed to them, but then sin came into the world. And then after that, what happened? They were cast out of the garden, and death became upon man. And the Bible teaches that, look, we can read here and find out that man got worse and worse. It got to the point where God said man's thought is evil continually. They are wicked to the point where God says, I'm going to have to destroy them. I'm thinking here, all these generations here. I wonder if them folks were sitting there looking up at Adam, got his little house up on the hill there, and they're saying, it's all his fault right there. Huh? I just wonder about that. You see, Adam witnessed the blessings of God in the garden and watched mankind deteriorate all these years. Now we get to Methuselah, and God's got a promise. God says, listen, 120 years, man's gonna live, is what he says. And I want to talk about the couple of different aspects of that. But we know that Noah was 500 years old when he started having children. Pretty old when he had his first sons. The Bible says that Noah was 600 years old when God flooded the earth. And so you look at them numbers, And then I'm using this number of 120 years because this is what I believe. If you look at the Bible, there's a lot of people that believe that what God did here was this, that God was saying that man's life would be reduced to 120 years. Now, we do know if we look in the Bible, we know that men like Moses and lived to be 120 years old after this, and we know that his brother lived to be 123 years old, and on and on and on. But I don't believe that's what this means. See, I believe that God knew in his mind when he gave, when he raptured Enoch out and he gave him a son, named him Methuselah, he knew that 120 years he's going to bring judgment on the world. He knew that. And if you do the math, if the Bible says that Methuselah was 187 years old when he had his son Lamech, and Lamech was 182 years old when he had his son Noah, and Noah was 600 years old when God flooded the world. Do the math, 969 years. I believe that. See, I believe God knew that. But God tarried all them years because he wanted man to get in. And you see, God said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, everybody don't believe what I believe, but I believe it because of what I've seen here. Now, that gets us to another interesting question here, because the Bible said that Noah was 500 years old when he started having them boys. Well, if it took him, by my preaching, it takes him 120 years to build the ark, when did them boys start helping him? I believe that Noah invested time building the ark before the boys were ever born. I think he went ahead and started that thing. Because I believe what God did when he had Methuselah born, I believe God said, time is running out. You got 120 years, and then that's going to be it. And all the math lines up on that. Well, there's a lot of things that puzzles me about that. I think about that. My goodness, everybody thought Noah was crazy. All the talk around town was, you see that crazy man down there building that ship, that boat? They didn't know what rain was. It fell from the sky to make the grass grow and the crops grow. They'd never seen rain. Said, this man's crazy. I bet you they said them boys are crazy too. I got a question for you. Y'all help me after the service. Somebody help me. How in the world did them boys ever find a mate? I mean, they had a crazy daddy, and everybody thought they was crazy, because what them boys do? They got up in the morning, and they started working on this ark, and they worked on this ark to dark. Listen, they didn't have time for courtship. Plus, everybody thought they was all nuts out of their mind to start out with. You know what I believe? I believe God just brought them ladies to them. Amen. Huh? Young people, you'll take note to that. I think some of you spend way too much time trying to find a spouse. When if you just be still and wait on the Lord, he'll bring you the right one. Can I tell you, when the right one comes, I believe you'll know it. I believe you will. I mean, the first time I laid eyes on baby doll, I said, wow. I'm just telling you the truth. I went out with her one time. I went home. My brother said, how'd it go? I said, I'm going to marry that woman. I'm just telling you the truth. And it took her a long time to see things my way, but... I just think you'll know. Listen, we just need to wait on God. You see, my question here, what I really want to focus on today is this. You see, Noah was doing more than building an ark here. Much more than that. Noah was showing his family how to be obedient and how to serve the Lord. He was investing something in his family. And you know the purpose behind it was what? So they'd get in the ark. Huh? Hey, he knew the day was coming that God was going to fulfill his promise and that he was going to flood this world and that all mankind that rejected God would be destroyed. So what was he doing? He was building a home up so that that family would believe and love and serve a God. And so when that time come, they got an ark. Hey, I got a question for you. I entitled this message, Are You Building an Ark? Because I believe this. I believe that's our responsibility in the home. As moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, that we are to build an ark in our home. What I mean by that? I mean we ought to live our lives in such a way in front of our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and people in the workplace that they can come to know the Lord like we did. And by that, by building an ark, what are you doing? You're making a way for them to get in. That's what you're doing. Hey, what are you known for? I'm afraid a lot of us are known for being good workers or maybe a good provider. Some of you, you know the topic around you is a good hunter. Some of us that fish, you know, are you good fishermen? And I don't, listen, I love to fish, I do. But I don't want to be known by the guy that tries to catch fish. I don't want to be known by that. You know, I want to be known as that one that's building the ark. I want to be that one that's setting the example. We had almost like a family reunion at the house yesterday. My wife's side of the family came to the house, and we wanted to spend time with my mother-in-law while she's still healthy. And boy, God used that. I mean, my family got up and sung, and I testified and gave a devotion and everything. What are we doing? We're building an ark there. Hey, we're trying to have a lifestyle in such a way that they can see Christ, they can believe the truth, and that they can have it for himself. I'm afraid that a lot of us are known for other things. Boy, it's not easy serving God. Sometimes serving God's hard. And you think about it. Well, you think it was easy on Noah? I mean, everybody thought he's crazy. Did nobody want to have anything to do with this man? And them boys. I mean, only 8 people got in the ark, and it was all because of a godly dad that did what? He raised his family up serving God. I mean, it's important that we do that. And I think about it, you know, that we ought to be challenged to do that. There's certain things we ought to do. There's people say, well, I just don't want to make my kids go to church. I just ain't going to. Oh, son, you best force them to go if you have to. You hope that they build a desire to go on their own. Well, listen, you got family living in your house, children living in your house, and they don't want to come. Hey, we'll tell them, make them come. I remember one time, boy, my wife, if she's watching this, she's going to fuss today. I know she is. Sorry about this. One of my daughters, 15 years old, decided one Sunday morning she wasn't going to church. My wife said, yes, ma'am, you are. Well, she finally convinced her to go in the car with me. My wife was in almost the same situation she's in now, except it was my mother. My mother was completely bedridden with Alzheimer's. She was sitting with my mother. She couldn't go. So I took this daughter to church. We got in the parking lot, and she said, uh-uh. I said, what do you mean, uh-uh? She said, I ain't going. I said, youngin, let me tell you one thing here. I said, this could be very well the last time your daddy ever sets foot in this church. The scene I'm fixing to make dragging you in here, they probably not going to want me back no more, but ma'am, you are going to church today. And she went. And God was good. You know, my wife had the same attitude toward me like that. I can remember going to a different church, and we was going to Sunday school, and we locked both sets of keys in the car. Now, I'm not even saved. I'm just, you know, the Lord's trying to do something with me. I'm lost, man. I'm in a church parking lot with both sets of keys locked up, and I'm having myself a fit. I'm not happy. And my wife says, she said, well, get it after church. I said, no, I'm gonna do something now. She said, no. She said, you're going to church, and you're going to like it. That's what she told me. But, I mean, that's the attitude we'll have with our kids. Listen, you've got to go. It's not a choice in this household. You see, we've got to understand that in this thing of me and you building an ark in our home, we have a God-given responsibility of everything that goes on in our house we're responsible for, what we allow. Huh? I know when I got saved, my wife did the best she could to have a godly home. And, you know, I was relaxed on some things. Boy, it was a shock when Daddy got saved. Man, I'm telling you, the shorts, they got gone. Some of the dress I didn't like, I put an end to it. Cindy's old enough to probably remember. Man, that's it, it's over. And it was a real shock, you know. Now Mama had an ally, and we was getting things right. I can remember one of my other daughters, she kept watching these TV rebellion shows on TV. You know, we had television back in them days. You know what I'm talking about. Daddy's an idiot, preacher's an idiot, you know. The kids rule the roost. I kept trying to get her off of it, and I caught her on it one more time. And so I went out to the car and got the wire cutters out, and I snipped the antenna off every television in the house. And that was the end of television in my home. That's been years and years ago. We just don't do it. What? You think that's hard? Can I tell you, listen, there's some hard decisions I made with my children that I had Christian friends that didn't understand. But you know what I had to do? I'm thinking, I'm building an ark here. Listen, you don't have to like it. You can think I'm like Noah. You can think I'm just a crazy man. But I'm not allowing this in my house. Because we're trying to build an ark here. Hey, we're trying to prepare something so these youngins are going to be able to get in. I don't want them on the outside when the time comes. I want them in. And so we got to be, we live in a time when we think we just got to spoil our kids, slap rotten. Give them everything. Can I tell you, parent, listen, your children got unattended internet in their room, you're making a mistake. I mean, it ought not be. Because it's nothing but evil there. And the temptation is too great. You can't allow it. We think we got to give them everything. I heard a story one time about this young boy. He's turning 16 years old, and he asked his dad, he said, I'm fixing to turn 16. I want you to give me a car. And he said, well, give you a car? He said, yeah, all my friends, their parents buy them cars. Personally, I think that's a mistake on top of that, too. Think they ought to work and earn what they got. Put something, invest something in it so they appreciate it. But his daddy told him, he said, I tell you what I'll do, son. He said, you study your Bible every night. He said, you make straight A's on your next semester's report card, and you cut your hair shorter, and you shave that beard off your place, and daddy'll get you a car. Boy, he came, and the time came, and the boy went to his daddy, and he said, Daddy, you're going to be so proud of me. He said, I got straight A's on my report card. He said, I want you to know that, hey, I studied my Bible every night. Where's the keys to the car? Daddy said, wait a minute, son. I distinctly remember saying something about that long hair and that beard right there. He said, yeah, Daddy, but through all that Bible reading and everything, he said, I discovered that John the Baptist had long hair and a beard. His daddy said, that's right, son, and he walked everywhere he went, too. We got to be careful that we don't spoil our kids rotten. You know, we ought not give them everything. And they don't need everything. Noah built this ark. I believe it took the 120 years. And then that time, my God was doing two things. He was trying to build. He was trying to build an ark with his family to make sure that they was close enough to God that they could get in. Friend, we need to be doing that in our home, but we don't need to stop there. How about the workplace? Many of you in this congregation, you still, what's your testimony like in the workplace? You know what would break my heart? That if you'd come to my plant and you'd ask anybody in my plant that knew me, if you ask them, can you tell me three things that you know about this man? If in them three things it didn't come out that I loved the Lord, that I was a witness for the Lord, I would be disappointed in myself. I don't want to hear he's a great worker and all this stuff. All that's important. I think having a good testimony in the workplace is very important. But we ought to be known by what? By building that ark. Huh? I remember when I got this job I got now, it's a crazy job. I wondered, Lord, why? I spent 23 years in a business I thought I was going to retire in, made tons of money, just everything going good, and it kind of went, pfft. And I said, Lord, why? I don't understand. And I tell you, I got there and I started, God used me. I started winning souls left and right, co-workers, family of co-workers. They was bringing them to me. I was visiting in homes. And I mean, for a long time, I was winning souls on a regular basis. Now, that's dried up. Everybody knows me now, and you know, we don't have a lot of new faces. But we still have a witness. We still got to have a witness. You know, I don't want things to go away. He built this ark. He built, but not only did he build an ark, you got to understand that Noah did this. He built a family that loved and was obedient and served God. And see, this message, I know this message, is we're not going to be here long today. And I know this is pretty simple and pretty basic. But my question is, Dad, are you building an ark? Mom, are you building an ark in your family? Can I tell you, listen, it works the same way for the church. You know what we're here for, church? We're here to build an ark. Huh? We're here to be this open door right here that, listen, visitors, and we can invite people in so that we can teach them the truth so they can get born again, saved, so when that day comes, they get in. They ain't on the outside beating the door and say, wait a minute, I want a second chance. There is no second chance. You might be here this morning, and maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've made a profession, but you know in your heart you're not really saved. I remember three times in my life I told men what they wanted to hear to get rid of them. But I didn't really know God. You know, I knew who God was.
The devil knows who God is. He knows the Word of God, but he's not born again saved. And I tell you, it's just different when God got a hold of him. There was a time when I realized that, listen, that if Christ, listen, if I'd been the only one that would accept Christ, you know Jesus would have went to Calvary's cross for me? I had a hard time believing that. I could understand why God could save you and you, and I could understand that, but me? I mean, man, if you'd have knew me before God got a hold of me, I wasn't a pleasant person. I really wasn't. I had some bad habits. I had some bad language about me. I was raised hard. And I was just rough around the edges. And if I was a circle, I'd have looked like a cube. That's what I'd look like. But it was bad. But God showed me that he loved me so much. And when I accepted Christ, he changed me. Have I been perfect? No. Do I struggle? Yes, I do, just like you do. But I know that I'm saved, and I have no doubt about that. And I'm fortunate. I'm lucky. If you've ever doubted your salvation, I'm sorry for you, but I just never have. I'm not saying that people don't go through it. I'm just telling you, I never have, not one time. Because I accepted Christ at what he did. Hey, I was around some people that were genuine and real, that was building an ark, and I seen what the truth was, and I got saved, and now guess what? I'm in. Hey, when that trump of God calls, I'm going. I'm out of here. Ain't nothing I can do to stop it. Ain't nothing you can do to stop it. I'm in. But there's those that doubt that. See, I struggled, am I? Maybe I am, maybe I ain't. But boy, one day when the man of God was reading the Word about God, and he got on that part about the 10 virgins, and he said he received the 5 wives. You know the story. I'm not going to preach it again. But he says he received the 5 wives, and then the door was shut. That's what I heard in his head. And I realized for the first time in my life I was lost, headed for hell, game over, no doubt about it. I know what the deal is now. I should have got saved that day. I didn't. Like a fool, I ran from God for 2 weeks, scared to drive. I'd see a dump truck come down the road, man, I'm telling you, it scared me. Because I knew if I got T-bone and got killed, I was going to hell. I can't explain to you why a man puts it off like that. I'm just trying to warn you, if you're here today and you got doubts about salvation, won't you come down this altar, you raise your hand up, we'll send somebody to help you, take the Word of God and show you the truth and see if we can't help you with that. I'm just convinced, and I tell this all the time, I'm not trying to be funny, I mean it. God could give this old boy a heart attack right now, I'd be with Jesus before my body hit this floor up here. Just like that, I'd be with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's where I'm going. Why? Because there's some folks around me that was building some arcs that were living their lives in such a way that made it so that I could get in. It's where we need to be as a church. We need to be that lighthouse on the hill where people can come and get the truth and be saved. Are we building an ark here? You know what? I believe we are. I believe Tabernacle Baptist Church is building an ark here. I believe that we're making a way for folks to come and to get in. You know, every church is not like that. A lot of churches are turned into nothing but social gatherings. They don't mean no harm. They're not doing it on purpose. It's just they don't have what some of us got. And instead of trying to please the Lord, they're trying to please a man. That's not us. And God help us that we never change. Because I believe that God's going to use this place to have an impact on this county. I'm already seeing it. I'm excited as I look around this room. I remember what it was like 2 years ago. You know, good church, great people, but there wasn't but a handful of us. Now look what God's doing. You know why? Because we're building an ark. And I just want to challenge you, church, as I close this out. Mom, dads, grandmas, grandpas, Christian, are we building an ark? Are we living our lives in such a way that people would witness it and know that there's something different in it, and not just that, but that they desire it for themselves, that they might get saved and be born again, that they get in. All those that rejected the message of Noah perished. And 120 years that Noah preached, and they had a way out if they'd accepted it, but they didn't. So let's all stand to your feet. The ladies come to play.